Good morning to all on this glorious day. Please join me in the prayer for illumination printed in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, through chapter 2, verse 3. If you would like to read along, please turn to page 1 in your pew Bible or page 2 in the story Bible. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. On the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I want to invite all the children who are here in the sanctuary to come forward and join me up here if you want to. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens, because this is a moment for you. Good morning. Good to see everybody. As everybody's coming forward, just a reminder next week to bring your backpacks. And it really should be for all students and teachers, no matter how old you are. So everybody bring your backpacks next week, and we'll bless them. Good morning. I want to show you, I am wearing a stole that I've never worn before. This is my very first time to wear it. It belonged to my cousin, who was a pastor up in Chicago. And when she died, her daughter gave this to me. Can you see what it has on it? Fish. It's got fish on it. And I thought, when in the world am I going to wear a stole that has fish on it? And then I started thinking about all the stories in the Bible that have fish in them. We can talk about that sometime, but today's story has fish in it. Did you hear Mr. Jeff read about how God created all the fish of the sea and all the animals of the earth? So we heard some of the story about creation of us and of all the animals. One thing that's really fascinating to me is after all creation was finished and everything was made, the story wasn't over. It said God rested. Can you think about that? God rested. God stopped creating and just sat back and looked at the beautiful creation that God had made and said, this is very good. And it reminds me that it's important for us sometimes to stop and to look around at the beauty of creation and to say, thank you, God. And it's important for us to rest. Do any of you still take naps? I do sometimes. I love naps. Naps are a gift, and we grown-ups need to rest more often too. So next time you lie down to take a nap or just to rest, say thank you, God, for showing us how to rest. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the glory of your creation. It is such a gift to us. We thank you for this story of creation that reminds us that even you rested, and you invite us to rest too. So help us to take the time to enjoy your creation and to follow the example that you set. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie and Pastor Will, I think. Yes. And the rest of you can go back and sit with parents or friends. So the theme for the next 3 weeks is rest, Sabbath, and I have to confess that sometimes I have trouble resting. I mean, literally, sometimes I have trouble falling asleep. I don't know if any of you struggle with that kind of insomnia, but I get it sometimes. It sort of comes in waves and cycles. There are times when I can go to bed, my head hits the pillow, and I'm out. But there are other times when I get in the bed, my head hits the pillow, and I'm on. And my brain is going, and I can't fall asleep. So I've been in one of those cycles lately, and after a particularly rough night this week, I thought, I'm going to fix this, and how do we fix these things? We go and listen to a podcast, right? It's the answer to everything. So I'm looking for podcasts on sleep. And I found one that was really good. I've listened to 2 out of the 6 in the series so far. It's hosted by Dr. Andrew Huberman, who is an ophthalmologist and a neurologist, a professor of those things at Stanford University, so he probably knows a thing or two. And then he's interviewing Dr. Matt Walker, who is a sleep scientist, a sleep expert. Wouldn't you love to be a sleep expert? Doesn't that sound wonderful? So the two of them are talking about sleep and the science of sleep and then good practices that help us enter into a good night's rest. The first episode is all about the science of sleep, and it was fascinating to hear Dr. Walker talk about the brain waves and what happens in our brains as we're falling asleep, the things that our body does as we sleep, all of the important work of our brain and our body to replenish our immune system, to organize our experiences of the day and form memories, to help restore and release all the toxins that we've taken in during the day. Sleep is vital. And that was the takeaway of that first episode I heard. It was that sleep is essential for life. And good quality sleep is essential for thriving. As the people of God, we don't need a sleep scientist to tell us that, really. We have been told and shown that from the very beginning of time, rest has been essential for life. God sets that example in the story of creation. God placed rest into the rhythm of life as a gift for us, as an invitation for us, as a necessity for life. Not just sleep, but rest. And so I want us to look at this first creation story and a couple of other texts in the Hebrew Scriptures to sort of lay the biblical foundation of Sabbath and rest. It might feel a little bit more like a Bible study this morning than a sermon, but I want to lay this foundation for us. The first story of creation, we have 2 creation stories in the Hebrew Scriptures, if you didn't realize. The first is in chapter 1 and a little bit of chapter 2. The second is in chapter 2 and following. And they're different tones and different order of things. The first creation story really reads like a poem or a hymn. Walter Brueggemann, in his wonderful commentary on the book of Genesis, calls the first chapter a theological affirmation. It's not a science textbook. It's not a history textbook. It is a theological affirmation of faith in the character of God. It tells us who God is and who we are in the order of things. And so Jeff read for us part of the sixth day of creation. We can think of the story as seven verses of a hymn, perhaps. So in the sixth day, in the sixth verse, human beings are created. What we didn't hear is that also a lot of the other animals were created as well. So we share day six with the other animals, by the way. But human beings are created uniquely in the image of God. All people created in the image of God. Not necessarily that we look physically like God, but imprinted on us is the very divine image. Within us is the divine spark, and part of that divine image is what comes next. God gives humankind dominion over creation. Now, as we explore that word, which we did in depth in Bible study this week, it's not domination. It's not exploitation and using creation for our own profit, for our own benefit. But dominion means care of the earth, stewardship of the earth. We are the image bearers of God, the messengers of God sent to live out God's will in creation. So that is our responsibility, which we'll talk a little bit more about in a minute. And then God finishes all of the things that God has created, steps back at the end of the sixth day and says, "This is very good." And so we remember that at the very beginning of all things is good, that you and I and all of creation and all people, our starting point is very good. And as I said to the children, the story could have ended there, but it didn't. There's a whole nother day, as we say in the South, the seventh day. And on that day, God rested. What a radical notion that the God of the universe would rest. And God consecrated that day as a holy day of rest for creation. So from the very beginning, page one of the Bible, we see this pattern laid out for us in life with God, a pattern of work and rest, work and rest, holy and consecrated. We see it again in the book of Exodus, as God has freed the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. We'll hear a little bit of that story next week. Through the leadership of Moses, God is leading them through the wilderness toward the promised land. And in those 40 years of wilderness wanderings, God is teaching them and shaping them and showing them the way of life with the law, the Torah. At the heart of the law are the Ten Commandments. And so let's look for a second at the Ten Commandments. The first three commandments are all about our relationship with God. They're vertical, you might say. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or a graven image. You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain or use the name of the Lord wrongly for purposes that are not of God. The last five commandments, we might say, are more horizontal. Honor your father and mother. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery, and so forth. But in between the vertical ones and the more horizontal ones is the fourth one. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It's almost as if this commandment is the hinge point between the vertical and the horizontal, the axis of the Ten Commandments. So I want to look together at how this commandment to keep the Sabbath, this commandment to rest, is the hinge point between the vertical and the horizontal in our relationship with God and one another. Keeping the Sabbath is a vertical practice because it's an invitation to trust in the provision of God. If we can't stop working because we think we are so necessary, or that the world will fall apart if I don't check my email on Saturday night, maybe that's a clue we're not placing our trust in the one who created us. Maybe that's a clue that we feel like we're holding the universe together when we're actually not. And so the invitation to stop, to lay the hammer down, to leave the phone in another room, to turn off the computer, perhaps is an invitation to trust in this vertical relationship with God. It says there's a whole paragraph of this fourth commandment. It's the longest one, I believe. And it says, the Sabbath shall be a day to the Lord. So there's an invitation to rest, and any kind of rest is important, but it's more than just lying on the couch and binge-watching Downton Abbey, as fun as that is. It's not just numbing out or scrolling on Facebook. It is a Sabbath to the Lord. It's finding a way to rest and trust in God and be attentive to the movement and the Spirit of God. Maybe that's taking a walk out in creation and thanking God for every bird you see, or just sitting out with a cup of coffee and listening to the sounds of nature. Maybe it's closing your eyes in prayer or meditation. Maybe it's just looking out a window and seeing what emerges in your spirit in the silence. Different kinds of keeping a Sabbath to the Lord, but it is meant to be a vertical practice. But it is also a horizontal practice. The fourth commandment goes on, it shall be a day of rest for you, for your children, and as it says in the original text, for your male and female slaves. But of course, we don't want to practice the institution of slavery anymore, but we might think about it as those who are part of our sphere of influence, your employees, the people you work with. It seems these commandments are addressed to those who have a little bit of power and influence. That's a whole nother conversation. But what about the people in your office, the people in your household? Do you create space for them to rest? In my first job in ministry, my office, I came up the stairs and I would go around the curve to my office, and right there was the office of the administrative assistant of the senior pastor. And she was there from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. at night, and she could see when I came in and when I left. And I just felt all of this pressure, like, oh, I gotta be there all the time, I gotta be available. I don't know if she meant for me to feel that way. But perhaps some of you are working in an environment like that, where your boss sends you emails at 11 p.m. or 7 a.m. on a Saturday morning, or wants you to come in on a day off. To the extent that you have the ability to allow others to rest, that's an invitation in the fourth commandment. To allow the people in your life to rest, including yourself. But it goes on. It also mentions your cattle. The animals that you are in charge of. Let the animals rest. I'm not going to dwell on that point too much this morning, but it invites us to think about how we treat our animals and our culture and our whole food industry. Do we ever allow our animals to rest? And then just a few chapters later, in chapter 23 of Exodus, the law says to allow the land to rest. Every seventh year, to let the fields lie fallow, so that the poor can come and glean, so that the land can rest and be restored. Most farmers know this, crop rotation is good for the land, but it's also good for us not to till the soil to death just to get more and more and more for ourselves. That's part of what it means to have dominion, to be good stewards of the land, of the animals, of those under our care. And Sabbath is one of those practices that helps us do that. So we have this invitation in the creation story. We have this commandment in the Ten Commandments to keep the Sabbath. And I know the world we live in. It is nearly impossible for any of us to take a whole day and set it aside as a Sabbath. The culture used to do some of that for us, but it doesn't anymore. And here we sit in the middle of three hospitals, and we know there are people who have to work around the clock 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so that healing can happen. We know that the culture goes on every day of the week. So the invitation, not the judgment, not the condemnation, but the invitation that is emerging for us, I think, in these examples of Sabbath, is to find some rhythm of rest to the Lord in your life. You may already have that practice in place, but if you don't, I want to give us just a few moments this morning to get started. Matt's going to come and play for us and give us just a couple of minutes of Sabbath rest. I invite you to sit still. You can close your eyes if you would like. If you find your brain is looking at the grocery list or thinking about your errands, just notice that your brain's doing that and say thank you. You can wait. Just let it go. And just allow yourself to rest in this day, which in God's own words is very good. And so are you.